Well, welcome here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we kick off here another show on this Thursday night. And we have Bobby Dooley on the line with us. She is going to be talking about an unconfirmed report now, whooping cough on a, whooping cough infecting a bus driver in Portland, Oregon. That's the story we have here. Now, earlier today, the story read something along the lines of, it's an absolute sure fact, and of course, as things go and as news goes, we find out, no, it's not confirmed.
Oh, this is not confirmed.
Yeah, they said it's unconfirmed.
Earlier today, they didn't say that. Earlier today, it said, and I was quoting a Portland news source, one of the TV stations up there, I think, had posted that, yes, this was a fact. And, of course, we're all interested in this from the standpoint of the whole autism thing, you know, and we will have Ms. Dooley on.
Well, why are you giving the big crooked face like that autism thing? You understand, Phil, that there are those of us that have concerns.
Let me ask some. Did you get Jason J. Delmonico inoculated?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Are you worried that he's going to be autistic?
Well,
don't you dare make a joke out of that.
Just always...
Don't... Come on, bud.
He's just going to say, how do you know the difference?
What did I just get...
All right, take it easy, take it easy.
Yes, I got him inoculated. This was before the autism worries, and the autism fear had surfaced and was rampant in the country. God.
Margaret, you don't have to talk to me like I'm mentally deficient. I understand. I just wanted to know.
Well, you're trying to make me out to be a hypocrite.
No, I'm not. Not at all. I don't blame parents for being frightened. I do blame some... I absolutely blame parents for not getting the kid inoculated. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I'm telling you right now, there's no excuse for that. I don't care. If you're some freaky, really weird and strange person... who has a fear of these the vaccines because some doctor, not the FDA, not the science, but some doctor and maybe some marginal healthcare professional have said to you, well, you know, we think it really does. And Jenny McCarthy, of course, she's got a big influence on all that, or whoever, whatever celebrity, and you go out and you act on that, you don't get your child vaccinated. I think there's something wrong with you. I really do.
And I think that's extremely judgmental of you, Phil. I also think it is extremely... I think it's...
What, are you crying?
No, I am very angry. When I get angry, my voice...
She gets angry. She sounds like a man.
When I get angry... When I get angry, yes, my voice
goes down. All right, well, Margaret, let's get Bobby Dooley in here. Ms. Dooley, as you know, is the host of the Bobby Dooley podcast. Our number is 855-500-7445. We have Ms. Dooley on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills this evening. And Bobby, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, Phil.
You see the story here. TriMet now saying whooping cough unconfirmed in driver.
Yes, and I think that is... I think that is, once the panic has settled, I think that's going to be the read on this, unless we have information that we don't yet have. But I think it's important for people to recognize that the vaccines for whatever the disease, whooping cough, measles, for mumps, for chickenpox, these vaccines, Phil, could very well be the cause of some traumatic ailment in our children. And I don't think panic mongering...
Well, that's a very good point, Phil. It is a panic mongering that seeks to drive, you know...
Yeah, it seeks to drive parents into the panicked state of going out and getting every vaccine imaginable until you've really put your child at risk. And we don't want to see that happen.
All right, I'm not going to go into why you feel the way you do. You just heard what Margaret said.
Well, I'm more than happy to tell you why I feel the way I do, Phil, because we've had these cases where we've seen some of the major components of these vaccines possibly causing autism in children because of the way they do interact with the chemistry. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say there aren't enough of these. I'd like to ask you, Mr. Henry, how many are enough? How many parents of children, and how many of the children do we witness being compromised this way before we do something about it?
I think that's a very good point. Do we sit and watch as one child after the next drops? Or do we do something about it now? That is entirely my point.
All right, we're online here at PhilHenryShow.com, and on the air on the Phil Henry Show here, as everybody around here started coughing at once. I don't know why that is. Why are you coughing?
Because you have a because I'm... I just...
I feel like I need to cough too, Phil, so why don't you?
Okay.
Oh, God.
God, Mr. Henry.
Well, it's a coffee ground. I'm sorry, folks. I...
If you didn't drink that god-awful Turkish coffee...
That is what I've told... Why do you drink Turkish coffee? You know it is... There's nothing but coffee grounds in there.
Because I like the way it tastes, because it's a good, strong cup of coffee, because it's the best cup of coffee I've ever had, and I do apologize. You're right, the coffee grounds did get in the old windpipe here, but I think I'm okay. We're talking with Bobby Dooley, Margaret Gray along the line here, as well as Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, about a Portland, Oregon bus driver who may or may not, as it turns out, have come down with whooping cough. After a morning of confusion about a TriMet driver possibly ill with whooping cough, the agency is now saying the case was unconfirmed and health officials will never know for sure what made the driver sick. What does that mean, they'll never know for sure?
Well, just that, Phil. It is a backpedaling on the entire issue so that they can be said to have not created a panic over the whooping cough. What I think is the tragedy of all of this is I know of three young mothers here at Western Estates who today, on the news of this driver supposedly getting whooping cough, went out and got their children inoculated. They were going to forego it. They were going to take a wait-and-see attitude. But because of the panic that was created by some in the media, and I'm hoping that you are not one of them, Phil.
I did repost the story on Facebook, and I reposted it on Twitter, and I think I made some comment that you probably wouldn't approve of.
Well, then I think you're a part of the problem, you know.
Phil, if you don't mind, Bobby, if just one...
I don't mind, but I do want to continue now with my comments after you make your comment uninterrupted.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Never mind.
No, please.
Go ahead, Margaret.
No, never mind.
Well, Phil, the point that I'm trying to make is that this panic mongering is something that created in at least one of the residents here, and possibly two, the desire to go out and get this vaccine. So she, in my opinion, has exposed her child to autism, to a unsure and uncertain future, where perhaps this child will become increasingly cut off in a sensory way from the world around him. And why does that? Because the media decided to make a big case about this man, who now we find out may not have whooping cough.
All right, our number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Bobby Dooley with us here, Margaret Gray making comments. Margaret, I don't know why you don't want to comment.
No, I'm not. When I heard Ms. Dooley say that she wanted to continue uninterrupted, I thought, you know something, why even go there? I'm not even going to, you know.
Well.
No, really, I don't want to, you know, someone else, you know, as my husband Frank says, someone else, pardon me for saying this, someone else cut the fart, let them sit in the cloud.
Okay.
There's no need to laugh.
Take it easy, bud, okay? Not every joke having to do with farts is funny.
That one was.
No, it was not. No, it was not.
All right. We're going to be right back. Our number 855-500-7445, Bobby Dooley, in to talk about the possibility that a case of whooping cough was discovered in Portland, Oregon, among a case of whooping cough with a bus driver up there. Excuse me for pausing. I was seeking grammatically the way to go.
What?
Just never mind. And so right now, though, it turns out it is not confirmed. So it's an extremely interesting story. I hope it isn't confirmed. I hope that there is, I hope that we can all be sort of, feel a little bit better about this story. But nonetheless, the entire debate and argument about vaccines and whether they are associated with incidents of autism will continue. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. 855-500-7445. Visit us at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and you're free. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're talking here about the possibility of autism resulting from vaccines. We're having this discussion again because here's the guy with whooping cough now, or possibly.
Yes, possibly whooping cough.
And with me is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, as well as Parent Teacher Organization. And Margaret Gray as well, both of these women mothers, and we have a lot of parents listening this evening. Bobby, this is an adult male who supposedly has a whooping cough. What has this got to do with children not being vaccinated?
Well, that's a very, very good point, Phil. It probably has very little to do with children not being vaccinated. It, I think, harkens to a time when this man was an infant and was not vaccinated, when this man perhaps, I don't know how old he is, but perhaps there was not a vaccine available.
Well, that's a very... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm asking you, Margaret, because you already had your comments.
Yes.
I think Margaret should be allowed to comment.
Well, whatever you say, Phil, but I don't come on the program all that regularly, and I wanted to be heard on this topic without... too much interruption. It's not that I don't respect Margaret.
Phil?
Well, okay, let me say this. You have a podcast.
I knew you'd say that. I knew.
Well, you do.
I knew you'd bring it up. So I have a podcast, and that means I don't get to say what I want to say?
Darling, you have a podcast. No, that does not mean that at all. It just means, may I say something? I'm on the panel.
Oh, you're on the panel. Well, what does that mean, you're on the panel?
Well, but Bobby, why not let her say something? It's no different from a show that may have two hosts instead of one.
But this show has one host, you, and the others are on a panel. So...
You have a daily podcast. You get to sound off about all kinds of things.
All right, well, you know something, if you're going to let Margaret... And you know I respect you, Margaret, but if you're going to let her speak, then I'd like everyone to know that my podcast tomorrow will be all about whooping cough... and the vaccines that cause autism, and...
That you can do that if you want to. I think it'll be very boring.
You know what? I'll decide that.
Well, look, you agree with her, right?
Are you speaking to me?
No, I'm talking to Margaret. You agree with her, right?
Yes, I do agree with you. I agree that these vaccines put a child at risk of developing this kind of autism. Yes.
What kind of autism are we talking about here?
Bobby?
It is, from my understanding, Phil, it is called, and I did not see, I haven't seen anything from Jenny McCarthy on this, but I think that Ms. McCarthy had identified it as a autism XB or something. It had one of those appellations attached to it.
Autism what?
I don't know. It's autism, autism 3.
It's one of those, it's an offshoot.
Yes.
Autism 3.
Minute ago, you called it XB.
Yes, I did call it XB, and I misspoke. It's autism...
What's autism XB?
It's really none of your business. That's what that is.
How can autism not be any of our... Look, we're asking a question. If you don't know, you don't have to answer.
We know, Phil, but this is very technical information. The Jenny McCarthy... She has not sounded off on this as of late.
Yeah, she's doing those commercials. I don't. She's doing those e-cigarette commercials, which I hope they're helping her, feed her family. But she needs to give us a little bit more information on this.
Well, you're not getting all your information from Jenny McCarthy on this, I hope. I mean, she was one of the early proponents of this belief system.
No, this is not a religion, you know.
I didn't say it was.
Well, then why are you referring to it as a belief system? We're not members of the anti-vaccine.
Yes, it's not a cult, Phil. We're not going, oh, anti-cult god, or anti-vaccine cult god. You know, we're not doing that.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
What are you talking about, oh, anti-vaccine cult god?
We're not a religion worshiping a god that's an anti-vaccine. Do you understand?
Yeah, sort of sounds crazy to me.
It does sound crazy. That's why we're not that.
All right, fine. And Jenny McCarthy, you guys haven't heard her sound off on this, so you don't know what the autism is called that kids are supposed to develop if they are vaccinated against whooping cough or some of these other diseases.
Not right now, Phil. We do have to get more information, but it is autism. I know it's autism dash something. There's autism, and then there is the dash.
Yes, it's that. What are you looking at, Phil?
You know what I'm looking at. You guys don't sound very informed on this. That's why I'm looking at you funny. Autism XB. What is it, a plane or a disease? You know.
What do you mean a plane?
Like a rocket plane.
Oh, yeah, like X1. They call it Autism X15.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's not my point. My point is, I know, a specific form of autism that all these anti-vaccine people have been talking about, and I'm wondering what that is. If you don't know what it is, that's okay. Not a problem. We'll move on. I want to get over to Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego, who is a internist. He has at times been a veterinarian as well as a psychologist. So, you know, Dr. Sadler, forgive me for that little bit of candor. How are you this evening?
Well, Phil, I was doing well until, I heard that bit of editorializing, but,
Well, it's true, Doctor, and I have to say these things because we have an audience that may ask me later, hey, isn't that the same guy that was the veterinarian?
Well, they may ask you a lot of things, and my response to that would be, Dr. Sadler's an internist, and I don't know what you're talking about, but you can't do that now because you got on the air...
And you're on the air now counseling me to lie.
No, I'm not. I'm not counseling you to lie. I'm saying you could say this, that, or something else. It doesn't make any difference. We're talking about autism, and I want to, first of all, say good evening to Ms. Dooley and Ms. Gray.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Sadler.
Good evening. But I also want to say, in the same breath that I took to say good evening, I want to say this. I want to say... that you're being highly irresponsible saying that the vaccine for whooping cough causes these diseases, causes autism. Autism XB doesn't even exist, Ms. Dooley.
Well, I understand it doesn't exist, Dr. Sadler, but I was being pressured by the host to come up with a form of autism that is created by a whooping cough. And this is the best I could do, all right?
We are not doctors, Dr. Sadler. We're mothers. Mothers. And we're frightened to death.
All right. You're frightened to death. I'm hopeful I can come on here and clarify some things.
All right, Dr. Sadler, it's Phil Henry. I want to ask you, is there any science, any real science, that links these vaccines to autism?
There is no science at all. No science that is accepted science. No one has written with any authority, nor been published with any authority on this topic. There is no consensus whatsoever that these vaccines cause autism. I have told women this as recently as this afternoon when I was walking into a Food King in my neighborhood. And
you're going to the supermarket?
I was going into a supermarket, and I was stopped by a woman who I'm familiar with. She's known in the neighborhood. People have seen her around. And she yelled my name, "Hey, Sadler," and I turned, and I recognized who this person was, and I kept on walking because she has been harassing me. She left a bag. Well, let me just say this. She started in again, and I said to her, "There's no science."
Is this some lady that's harassing you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But she's one of these very, very motivated, and she thinks she has the higher good in mind and at heart to continually bother me. She left a bag with human feces in it and set it on fire on my walkway.
Good God.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She left a bag of what? She left a bag, let's just say she left a bag with feces in it on my walkway at my home and set it on fire.
How do you know it was her?
Because she left a sign on it saying, she fashioned a little sign out of a popsicle stick and a little sign that said, Dr. Sadler, this is from, and she gave a name, and she even pointed with a finger pointing down at it, identified where it was.
All right, hold the line. Good Lord Almighty. Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us here as we talk about the vaccine for whooping cough, the vaccine for measles, the vaccine for chickenpox, the vaccines that allegedly cause these terrible afflictions like autism, allegedly. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here. With me is Bobby Dooley and Margaret Gray as we talk about vaccinations and whether or not they cause autism. And you can tell by the derisive and dismissive tone of my voice that I don't buy it one bit, never have, and I don't now. And Ms. Dooley, I guess you encounter a lot of people like that.
Yes, we encounter a lot of people like that, Phil, and if they want to relegate a generation of children to a life of I don't know what you would do, children that I'm not familiar 100% with what autism looks like, but it can't possibly be good, and that is, you know, from me to you, as my husband says.
Well, no, it is not good, and what you're talking about, Bobby, is relegating a child with autism to a life of staring up at a ceiling, and or any of these sort of behaviors that we see as odd, maybe not bizarre.
What do you mean, staring at a ceiling?
Well, a lot of children who have autism will be looking at a ceiling, and I'm not trying to be funny, Phil, when I say that you will walk up to one of those children, and you'll look and realize, well, they're not staring at anything. And that's when you'll say, you know, where are your parents? And sometimes they'll say, they'll point, and sometimes they'll point at you, or they'll point at a bug. And you'll say, well, where are your parents? And they'll keep pointing at the bug. So you realize you're dealing...
Well, that's not a very... I don't think that's a very clinical or compassionate or descriptive way of relating to us what this this does, this malady does.
Well, Phil, what do you want us to say? We're not doctors.
All right, well, Dr. Sadler is hanging on the line from San Diego, so let's get him back on the line. Jim Sadler on the line with us here. And all right, you've heard what these ladies have said, Dr. Sadler. Your opinion. Is he there?
No, he hung up.
Why did he hang up?
You didn't go back to him fast enough. He thought you were just going to have a conversation, so he hung up.
I didn't go back to him fast enough.
Well, it didn't sound like you remembered that he was on hold.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
I remembered that he was on hold halfway through my questions to Bobby, and so we could have just segued very nicely, but we didn't.
Well, I don't think it would have been a good segue, because you would have said, oh, Dr. Jim Sadler knows. He's a doctor. Let's go. It didn't sound like you knew he was on hold.
All right, rather than go through a critique, get him back on the phone, please.
What do you want me to do?
Call him back.
Phil, I don't think it's a time to lose your temper.
But that's fine, Ms. Dooley. Thank you for your opinion. I'll decide when and where. And what you do, Margaret, as a member of the panel, is help me transition smoothly, not make it tougher.
Well, when you're sitting there, Phil, asking me questions and asking Bobby questions, and then you say, oh, yes, that's right, we have a doctor on the phone.
I didn't say, yeah, that's right. I made it sound like I...
You made it sound like you remembered there was one there, even though you'd forgotten.
See, so you're as my kids love to say, they'll always say, oh, you're busted, you're busted.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but I better not.
Yeah, that's right, you better not. Is he there?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, you there? I said, are you there? No, what I asked you is, are you there?
I guess if he's answering you, he's there.
Yeah, okay, I know, because that's what Mr. Henry said. If you're answering me, you are there. Okay.
Dr. Sadler.
All right, Phil, I'm sorry I hung up, but I didn't want to be treated like I was some kind of afterthought on your program. I am the man on this show who is the man of science.
Well, Dr. Sadler, this is Bobby Dooley. Please don't pull rank. I am a mother,
What do you call calling yourself a mother? I think that's pulling rank.
Well, no, it's not pulling rank, only to the point that we're reminding you that we have a very special, personal, and vested interest.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Margaret Gray.
Margaret Gray, she's one of the members of the panel on my show.
Oh, okay. I heard this woman. So there's two women.
Yes, I'm Bobby Dooley.
And we have Margaret here.
And I'm here.
Oh, I see. All right. I thought I was talking to one woman and then Mr. Hendry and the other, those two, excuse me for saying those two idiots.
I don't like being called an idiot, Doctor.
I'm sorry to call you an idiot, sir, but I don't know who it is that makes the comments behind Mr. Hendry, but he sounds like a real box office record-setting moron.
All right, that's fine, Dr. Sadler. Let's just get it back on track here to the whooping cough alleged to have infected a driver of a TriMet bus in Portland. Do you have any information on that?
No, I do not. Is that how you're going to talk to me? God.
I'm sorry, but I want to... Do you have any information on that?
No, I don't. I know that this morning they said they were worried that one of their drivers might be infected. As of this hour, they are gradually, slowly but surely backing off of the original report. KGW, which is a news TV station in the Portland, Oregon area, said that the newspaper said Wednesday morning that a Twitter user took a picture of the bus, which was cordoned off and sealed in caution tape, and a sign attached to the door read, "Do not enter infected bus." On Wednesday, KGW learned the driver was taking passengers along the number 10 route from 5:30 in the morning to 9 a.m., but the agency did not specify the day. The 10 Herald Street bus line travels to southeast Portland from the Lentz Town Center to downtown.
Okay, that's fine. So in other words, there was a report from a Twitter user?
Right. There was a Twitter user who then it was picked up by the newspaper, what was then picked up by a television station. So you don't exactly have the greatest sourcing of this story, because what we find, Phil, is that what's the source? Somebody with an iPhone who took a picture of a sign. And I think it's highly irregular. And so to the extent that these ladies are right, it's panic-mongering, they are right. But I will say,
you do agree, though, that it is panic-mongering?
I agree that there's no real verifiable source for this information, but I want to say to you, Ms. Dooley, it's very irresponsible for you to get on here saying that, autism XB and 1, and you don't even know what you're talking about. These diseases do not exist. The ones that you're talking about.
Well, you're the doctor, then. What is the autism that is alleged to be caused by the vaccines?
I don't know that much about autism because that's not my specialty. All right.
What is your specialty?
What's your spec? You mean your what you are a specialist in?
Yes, what I'm a specialist in.
Well, what are you? You're an internist, though, Dr. Sadler, correct?
Yes, I'm an internist, but I don't know what the name to the different autisms are. You'd have to have a whole other study and a degree in it. I'm a regular country doctor, is what I like to call myself, the way the guy done on
Star Trek?
Yeah, on Star Trek. I loved him, and I became a doctor because of Bones. I forget what his full name was.
Dr. McCoy.
Oh, McCoy. I thought it was McGillicuddy. It wasn't Dr. McGillicuddy?
No, it was Dr. McCoy. But in any event... So you don't know the name of the particular form of autism caused by that they say is caused by the vaccine?
No, I do not know the name of it. We can keep beating this into the ground, and all it does is make me lose credibility, you know.
Dr. Sadler, I think a doctor should know these diseases and should be conversant with them.
Well, I'm glad you've given me your opinion.
Can I ask you again, Doctor, as an internist, what would you be more conversant with? What kinds of ailments?
Well, as an internist, I would know about upset stomach. I would know about what do they call when you have a loose bowel movement?
Diarrhea?
Yes, diarrhea. I would know when you're feeling ill and your forehead gets hot.
Fever?
Yeah, you know, you don't have to keep telling me what it is. I know what it is, but I don't. If you keep telling me what it is, then I look like even more of a clod on skates than I do. Dr. Sadler, this is Bobby Dooley. I don't think that you're helping us here. You don't even know what diarrhea is. I most certainly do know what diarrhea is.
But you had to be reminded of what the name is.
All right, so I did not have to be reminded. I did not have to be reminded.
Well, when you said that your forehead gets hot.
Yes, that's called a fever. I know that.
Well, why didn't you know that?
I did know it.
You had to be reminded of the name.
All right, I slipped my mind. Why am I even on this show? I got better things to do. I got invited to go out to dinner tonight in the Gaslight District with a beautiful, and I mean a beautiful, recently divorced patient of mine. And I'm talking to you people? I ought to have my head examined. I really ought to have my head examined.
And who would examine your head?
You know what? Why don't you go straight to the...
All right, he probably couldn't answer that question. Who would examine his head?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, if you're listening, it's called a psychiatrist.
Ms. Dooley, in the time that we have remaining, which is only about a minute, can you tell me, what will be the upshot of this if it is found that the man does have whooping cough? If it is found that he does have this disease, what are you prepared to support? Are you still going to be telling mothers not to get their kids vaccinated?
Well, I just still reject the whole idea that he has, if he has whooping cough, as you say he may, then I think it's almost better to risk getting the whooping cough than to have your child, as I said earlier, pointing to a bug or an anthill and saying, I live there. And I don't mean to be frivolous.
That is very... That's a frightening thought.
I don't mean to be frivolous, but if your child goes up to, I don't have whooping cough, but I think I live under a house, I fear for our children and our future. Hello?
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Bobby Dooley, for joining us on the program tonight. You can listen to Bobby Dooley's podcast every day. It is the Bobby Dooley Podcast, available on the Sideshow Network, SoundCloud, on our website, philhenryshow.com, and elsewhere. Margaret, your thoughts?
Well, the fact that I was not allowed to really say much by Ms. Dooley under the threat that she'd become, I don't know what, bitchy or something, but I understand... I would agree with her. I don't want my child running the risk of coming down with autism just to get him vaccinated against whooping cough or the...
Oh, whooping cough.
Yes, whooping cough, excuse me. I would rather take my... I'll roll the dice and take my chances.
You're not taking the chances, though. That kid is taking the chances.
All right, I'll roll the dice and take the chances for him. And if it turns out that he is making noises in church, or I don't know, Phil.
That's okay. It's worth the risk.
Yes, it is, Phil. You know something? There are worse things in this world than having your child in the middle of a very quiet funeral or some kind of a church service belting out some funny sound. There are worse things.
Yeah, like my one kid I heard, he went, "Dah!" Ray!
Would you shut...
Ow!
Wow, Margaret, yeah, starts to hit home, doesn't it?
No, that hit home, though, didn't it, Bud?
Yeah.
We'll take a break here. I wish you wouldn't do that, because I'm going to have to take... talking about taking matters in hand. World-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. Right back here with more on the world-famous... Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And to my friend Gigi there in Waco, you let me know, Gigi, whether we got a level problem here or not. She was she's a nice kid, and she listens to the show. She may be the youngest fan we have. I mean, like, really devoted fan. But she told me on a Twitter message, she says, "You know, Phil, I can't hear your show. There's some level problems here, bud."
Well, you're one.
I'm just asking you to, you know, double check it for me. So thanks a lot, Gigi, for that.
Her name is Gigi. Is that?
Yes. Yes. That's a pretty name. I like that name. Anyway, welcome back here, 855-500-7445. Margaret, next hour we'll be talking about your upcoming set at, where are you going to be at?
Well, we're going to be in Fontana at the Kangaroo. This is a place that Frank booked me. We'll talk about it at the top of the hour. And the set that I'm going to be doing will be decidedly adult, yet classic. There's a couple of songs that I'd like to tell you about. Real classics. One is called The Scent of Me. Or no, Catch the Scent of Me. And another is called My Bow-Legged Gal. And they're a lot of fun. It's adult in nature.
Well, is it obscene?
No, I wouldn't call it that. It's adult in nature. I would rather not characterize it as obscene.
What do you mean, My Bow-Legged Gal?
Am I talking to you?
Yeah, well, Margaret, he's got a legitimate question.
It's a fun song. My Old Bow-Legged Gal Sal. That's the name of the song.
My Old Bow-Legged Gal Sal.
Because you guys want me to get into why she's bow-legged, and I'm not going to do it.
No, I mean, a guy can take a wild guess.
Well, then take all the wild guesses you want.
All right, but that's what you mean when you say it's going to be an adult set.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk about that at the top of the hour. For those of you who have been concerned, for those of you who have had questions, for those of you who have asked me, have I heard, and I was rather smart-ass about it today, someone said, hey, Phil, did you know that Art Bell is not on Sirius XM? To which I responded, yeah, and President Wilson's feeling a little tired, too.
What's that mean?
It means, in other words, it's old news, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I heard the one about President Roosevelt has a headache. Okay, great. So you get the general idea. Art Bell is leaving Sirius XM, if you haven't heard.
Yeah, and President Roosevelt has a bad headache.
Yeah, and President Lincoln...
All right, I get it. Art Bell, the radio icon that joined the Sirius XM lineup on September 16th, is leaving the air. Now, he's leaving the air after just a month and a half, and there is quite a bit of detail that this particular story goes into, and the story that I'm reading is on a Clear Channel radio station website. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the terrestrial broadcaster Clear Channel doesn't have any great love for satellite radio, and probably vice versa. I think that's just a natural bit of competitive spirit. But they go into quite a bit of detail as to why Art claims, they say that Art claims he's leaving Sirius XM. And this is what I had originally heard. And then there was a bunch of hokum. There were other reasons given that were bullcrap. This is what I've heard, and I believe this is what Art himself has attested to. Sirius XM's web player, their web player, is notoriously unreliable, causing a loss of subscribers and a degraded listening experience to those who remain listening online. So if you're listening to him online, you're using a web player that Sirius XM is providing, and they don't let. That's an online listening experience. Now, this is a satellite service. This is coming through the air from the satellite. So, in other words, the optimum listening experience would be listening by way of a satellite radio. However, there are many who do not, and there are a great many Art Bell fans, how do I say this, that are...
They're off the grid.
They're off the grid, yeah. They're you know...
Yeah, they live in a desert in a cave.
They don't live in a desert in the cave, man, okay?
No, they live in the desert in a cave. Yeah, you said they live in a desert in the cave.
Well, whatever I said, man, that's not exactly accurate. Are you saying they're unusual people?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. You kidding me or something? Art Bell's listeners, they think that the world... They think that the world's going to be taken over by underground worms.
What? That wasn't even funny.
Well, I think it was.
All right, fine. But Art's got a lot of people that listen in out-of-the-way places. He's got a vast listening audience, obviously, and a great many of them, I would suspect, are listening online, hence the reason for him to be a bit soured on the web player experience of Sirius XM. Number two, and this is something that we can attest to here in the terrestrial world, for a caller-driven show, the caller pool for Art's show is just too small. That's a very, very key thing to understand, and it means the following. It means callers to talk shows are people that are cume listeners. That means they're just, you know, they're popping in and out. They're not necessarily loyal listeners so much as they are just people that are there listening and then going off to another experience. If you don't have that many people popping in and popping out, and satellite radio doesn't because it's satellite radio and it's a subscriber service, you're not going to get people calling the show. International listeners have no legitimate way to hear the show. International listeners have no legitimate way to hear the show. Well, an international listener can listen online, but their web player is screwed up, and I guess the satellite service of Sirius XM does not extend to the international listener. This is not the first time. Now, here they go into some editorializing. This is not the first time we've heard issues relating to the internet platform offered up by Sirius XM. There have been a host of issues from the functionality to being booted off. Okay, so what they're basically saying is that Art has left Sirius XM because his internet-only listeners do not have a way to listen to the show. Isn't that interesting?
Well, so what does that mean? Most of his listeners were listening online?
I don't know. It seems to me that Art spent an awful lot of time early on, developing an online audience, developing people online, telling people to go to the website, posting things, having people sort of interact with him by way of the website. So I would say that, yeah, there's been quite a bit of effort put into developing those online listeners by Art Bell, and he doesn't see them coming over to satellite radio, so bummer, people, bummer. We'll be back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All of what you just said?
No, I won't.
Sometimes I need to
And now, Coast to Coast with Art Bell. If you're calling from east of the Rockies, that's too bad. Can't help you. If you're calling from west of the Rockies, surely you have something better to do than call Art Bell. And if you're calling from the south of the Rockies, you got this whole thing wrong. You got me all wrong. I'm not that kind of a guy. I'm not that kind of a guy. And now, here's a guy that is that kind of a guy, Art Bell.
And thank you, Ross Mitchell. Thank you. No, you are not that kind of a guy. But I am very definitely that kind of a guy. And because I'm that kind of a guy, I welcome you to this evening's program, Art Bell Coast to Coast. Across the fruited plain, around the world, the wild card line, the unwild card line, the tamed line, the first time listener line, as well as the last time listener line, and that should be pretty active tonight, since this is the last show we'll ever do anywhere for anyone. I'm Art Bell, and I'm sick to death of it. But first, this word from Peeman Enterprises. You know, Peeman Enterprises has been foisting all kinds of crap on you for a great many years, some of it on this program. Did I know it was garbage? No, I didn't. I've used it in my own home, and it's worked for me. If it didn't work for you, that's probably because you have full electricity, full power, you're on gas, you're on the grid. Most of these products were meant for people not on the grid. I'm Art Bell. Thank you, Peeman Enterprises, for all of the great products that I availed myself of down through these many years. But then again, I'm off the grid. Well, we have a show here tonight that should be very interesting. General Johnson Jameson is going to be with us. And General Jameson is looking into a phenomenon that I find quite remarkable. The phenomenon that I'm talking about is that people are not able to listen to our radio show since we've been on Sirius XM. Why is this? It's because people are listening to us on the internet. Now, I think I'm the only radio show, perhaps in the history of the medium of internet or radio, that has a great many people listening on the internet, and it baffles, bewilders, and bothers me. And General Jameson, good evening, and from the Saskatchewan crust, well beneath it there in your laboratory, have you been able to figure this out?
I can tell you, Art, that it's got me stumped. First of all, you're on satellite radio, and I double-checked that. I went out to my car. Igor's here, Art, and he hasn't talked to you in a while. Igor, you want to say hello to Art?
Hey, man.
Igor, how are you?
Yeah.
I go outside and plug Art in and see if you can't bring him down through the tubing that we have. Now,
You have a satellite radio there, General Jameson.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we got sound. As soon as I found out you were going on Sirius XM, I went and I bought the car, and I mean, I bought a car with the satellite radio in it, because I don't know the first thing about actually installing a satellite radio, so I went ahead and...
No, I understand. You bought the car that had the service, and you went ahead and subscribed.
Well, yes, sir.
Are you telling me you're bringing the signal in illegally?
No, I wouldn't say illegally, but I... I don't pay for anything, Art. You know me. What I wanted to say, though, is that Igor has not been able to pull you in on the Internet, and that was more important to him, because that's how he discovered... Isn't that how you discovered Art Igor?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, he discovered you by way of the Internet, and I know a lot of people did. Now, the question that I have, and I'm looking into it here through a variety of chemicals. I've mixed together some goblin juice. I've got some gremlin juice. None of it seems to help.
Well, what are you trying to determine here, General Jameson?
Well, why grown adults are not able to listen to your program. Apparently, they only have Internet. I don't understand what that means.
Well, a great many of my listeners, yes, listen to us online.
Okay, that's nice. That's great. They do know that there's a thing called a radio. You know, it goes... I know it's pretty strange mojo, you know.
No, they understand there is... At least I understand that they understand, and I do understand that they know that there is a thing called radio. At least I think they do.
Well, here's the problem. If I can just interrupt you.
Go ahead.
You're on the air, you're on Sirius XM, and they're trying to listen to you on the Internet, and you're supposed to be pulling subscribers for Sirius XM and yourself, and you are having a lot of people say they can't pick you up on the Internet, and so you're bugged, and you're leaving? I don't understand that.
Well, you have to understand something. These are loyal audience members.
No. I get that. But it's a new day, you know. You're on Sirius XM. Did anybody explain to you it was a subscription service?
I heard something about that.
You heard something about that? Igor, are we paying for the...
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Yeah. See, we're paying...
Well, you just said that you don't pay for anything.
Well, somebody's paying for it, and we're listening to you. But we're listening to you on the satellite service. That's what's supposed to happen. Am I wrong?
There was some conversation about people subscribing to Sirius XM so they could hear my show. However, the nature of the people that listen to my program are off the grid.
You know, I get it about off the grid, Art. God almighty.
They don't want to give their name and their credit card number and things like that. They feel that when the time is right, they would certainly communicate these bits of information to the appropriate parties. But they're not going to turn this over to a large corporate entity, such as those who run Sirius XM with their suits and their town cars and so on and so forth. These are my people. My people. And they'll only do what I direct them to do, and so far I've not directed them to subscribe to Sirius XM.
Well, it doesn't look like you're going to be directing them, because you're off... You're leaving.
Yes, I am.
So you're not going to be directing them?
I don't know yet.
Well, you know what really bothers me, Art, is the fact that I paid the money, and I'm listening, and now you're leaving. Now, who's going to put me on their show? No one. Because you're the only guy that would let me come on the air and talk about gremlin juice and, yes, having sex with you near Area 51. All of that is over. Over. Right, Igor?
Yeah! You know that, man, yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry about that, General Jameson, but that's just going to have to be the way that it is until such time as I can figure out how to tell my listeners to not use the Internet but actually listen to a satellite radio. A lot of them can't figure it out.
I don't get that. You know, you've got a very supposedly savvy, technologically savvy audience. I mean, they're into Martians and spaceships, and they don't know how to use the...
I said they probably do, but they're off the grid.
Yeah, I get it. It's off the grid.
Well, I'm very sorry, General Jameson, but that's just the way it's going to have to be for the time being. Bye, Mark Bell.
Hey, Art, don't leave yet. Art, don't leave yet.
I'm right here, General Jameson.
Art, before you go, would you record a message for hi, this is Art Bell, and you've called General Jameson, he's not in right now, and...
I'm afraid I can't do that, I have to go.
Come on, you said you would.
I'd be happy to do it, General Jameson.
You know, buzz off, will you, Mitchell? I got 16 messages from you. No one cares.
This has been Art Bell, Coast to Coast, but not online.
Good. Real good.
Friday night and the lights are low.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you, Art. It was great.
My pleasure, Phil.
And we'll see you on the radio somewhere, man. I don't know where, huh?
Yeah, I don't. At this time, I'm not.
And if for anybody listening, you're not really Art Bell.
No, I'm not really Art Bell. I'm actually just a character voice.
Yes. The whole thing with nobody knowing how to listen to your show, that's not really true, right?
Well, I don't know. It might be true. The fact that...
Well, Art, let me ask you this. This is Margaret Gray.
Yes, I see you.
Thank you. You said that... Oh, forget it.
Yeah. I don't really want to talk too much about it, Phil. I think that it's... I think it's been beat into the ground. Fact is, I live in the Philippines...
Right.
And I live with a very beautiful woman, and I have a great life. I don't need this anymore. Suckers like you, and excuse me for saying it, you do, but I don't. I don't need radio, and it's amazing, Sirius XM, what they're getting away with. But me, I don't need it anymore. I'm Art Bell.
All right, man, well, good luck.
Right.
And Art's right, he doesn't need it anymore.
He doesn't need it anymore. He doesn't need it anymore.
Yes, I get the idea that he doesn't need it anymore. Is that what you...
Yeah, but I mean, listen to this. Now, this is from his website. The departure of Bell, as unfortunate as it is, should be a signal to Sirius XM. And keep in mind that this is on Art's website, so I have to believe he either wrote this or is very closely associated with the writing of it. The departure of Bell, as unfortunate as it is, should be a signal to SiriusXM. The company has a compelling product, great content, and great potential, but in some ways has lost the edge that it once had. The frustrations of Bell can be heard on other channels as well. Opie and Anthony, Howard Stern, Jay Thomas, and others have all at times expressed a great deal of frustration. In some ways, now here's where it starts to kind of leave the world. This doesn't make a lot of sense. In some ways, the complaints of on-air personalities ring back to the old FM days of terrestrial radio, a path that many consumers and on-air personalities could not wait to get away from. Now, what does that mean?
Was there a time that FM radio...
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when no one listened to FM radio, and that was back when my dad listened to it. That was back in, like, the early 60s, when all you could listen to on FM radio was like elevator music, pretty much.
They had like a jazz though, didn't they?
Yeah, they had jazz, and they had jazz, and they had classical music, but nobody was listening to FM radio. And then came the advent of rock and roll on FM radio in the 60s, and then that changed everything. But I don't recall FM ever reaching a point where the on-air personalities and the listeners needed to get off of, they couldn't take it and wanted to, huh? However, that having been said, the fact that Howard Stern, Jay Thomas, and others are expressing frustration, I know exactly what that's about. I know exactly what's going on over there.
What?
It's no secret that SiriusXM had an enormous debt to pay off, an enormous amount of money, somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 million. It's also no secret that SiriusXM basically sort of cleaned house and got rid of a lot of high-priced people, whether it was talent or behind the scenes, replaced them with people working for practically nothing, if anything at all. Some of the shows that they have on SiriusXM do not get compensated. They're on there as a way of promoting whatever else they're doing. For instance, a stand-up comedy may be something being promoted by one of those shows because those guys are glad to go on there and not make any money because they're able to promote their stand-up act. So that's one avenue that SiriusXM has taken. But that alone is not going to save you money. You have to do other things. And I suspect some of the other things they're doing is they're cutting back a little bit on infrastructure. That is, things that make the channel easier to listen to, things that make the channel better to listen to, things that make the experience, the working conditions of the people that are there that, you know, did make their lot in life a little more pleasant or at least workable, now they don't exist. I know a whole lot about that, man. A whole lot about that.
Well, if you're going back to the other place...
No, I'm not going to mention them by name, but I know a whole lot about companies that are in over their head that should probably never have gotten into the business of radio in the first place, can't support the talent, they can't support the radio shows, they're trying to do it with spit and glue, they're doing it with baling wire going out to the transmitter, a Dixie cup and a string, whatever you want to call it, man. I've seen it happen. I've been the recipient of it. You're hearing other people talking about it. And what is Art complaining about here? He's not complaining about money. He's not complaining about, you know, and I never complained about money either. In fact, I never hear these cats saying, I don't make enough money. I never hear, you used to hear that. But the radio gods got it now to the point where money's the least of your concern. Now you're worried about whether you're going to be on the air or not. You're worried about whether the switch, when you turn it on, things are going to go on. I mean, that's how pathetic it's gotten in some areas. And that's exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, but you're not saying like he's saying that it's so bad it's going to go, like, break down or something.
No, I'm not saying it's going to break down, but he's saying that he has a lot of online listeners. Art Bell has a lot of online listeners. And the way they listen online is with this web player that SiriusXM promotes. I don't know what the hell it is. I wouldn't know it, man, if somebody gave me one. I wouldn't know what the hell it was. But apparently this is something they like to use and have used it and have found it very workable and very enjoyable, and they like it. Now he's on this, he's with this new company, and their web player blows every which way but loose. Like that song last night, Margaret, North Wind, Blow Bob's Love to Me.
Don't make fun. You're making fun of the music that I am going to be performing this weekend. I'd be more than happy to get up and walk out of here.
Won't be the first time.
What are you picking on me for?
I'm just... Never mind. I'm sorry. But... So, he's talking about infrastructure. He's talking about something that's very basic. He's talking about, does the machine work? That's a far cry from saying, gee, I really ought to be making more money. I remember those days, too, man. I've been around in this business. I can remember a time when you were talking about bread. You know, your next contract, how much money am I going to get paid? And our industry... The radio industry is at a place right now where it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Phil, you're going to get people...
What are you talking about, man? This is a big story. It's a big story. I'm going to get people what? What are they going to say? That I'm lying? I'm telling you, it is so embarrassing in our business now, you don't even bother bringing up money with these people. You don't even bother... I'll tell you who they're paying. They're paying themselves... They're paying their lieutenants at the top of the company. They're going to make sure they have their golden parachute. And the talent, forget it. So now the talent is sitting there at the bottom of the totem pole saying, forget about the bread, because I know I'm never going to squeeze another nickel out of these cheap creeps. But does the machine even work, man? Is my microphone going to turn on or off when I turn it on or off? Is the transmitter working? Does the equipment work? And now you got Art Bell, no less a person than Art Bell, saying, no, it doesn't. Now that's what I mean by embarrassing.
Well, you're not doing yourself any favors, Mr. Henry, to try to get in good with people. Yeah, you got to learn how to kiss an ass, Henry. Well, I shouldn't say ass.
What do you mean I got to learn? Don't tell me how to do it.
Bud is right, Phil. You have to go along to get along.
And you got to get along to go along, too.
Yes, you have to get along to go along, too. I don't...
All right, so I'll go along to get along, and I'll get along to go along, but I'm just there's nothing that I just said that isn't true. Anyway, the best of luck to you, Art. Nice man, and in the Philippines. I don't know if he's going to be back on. I don't know if he's going to be going back to his terrestrial model or not. He was off the air, and I guess he left terrestrial and went over to satellite, and finding that the satellite situation really sucks, so... World famous Phil Henry Show here.
You think he was making any money, though?
What?
Was he making any money?
Art's, yeah, he made a lot of bread. Now, I don't know. Now he's got a piece of the business. He's got a piece of the action, I think. So he's, I think if he's probably smarter. I don't know. A lot of these companies now, they don't want to give the rights away. They want to own everything. They found out that radio talent like me, for instance, is making money on their radio broadcasts, their old radio broadcasts, and they don't like that, so they're not giving the rights away anymore. Or they're not even considering letting talent have rights to their own shows. I mean, if you can dig that.
Well, you can't blame them if they don't know how to make money.
Well, that's a good point. They don't know how to make money any other way, so they got to... hey, by the way, you guys don't get rights to your radio shows anymore. We have all the rights. Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-507-445. Margaret's coming back here, and we will discuss with her this new set list that she's putting together for the weekend, which you have described, Margaret, as adult in nature, but good fun.
Yes, and I really resent the implication before the last break, whenever it was, that somehow we are doing crude, lascivious, scatological, or just patently obscene material. No, we are not. It's fun. It is adult, yes, but fun.
All right, fine, fair enough. Can we go through this set list?
Absolutely.
All right, after this next break, we will talk about Margaret's next appearance, which I thought you said it was a different club. It's going to be in Fontana, California this weekend. Two big sets, right?
Yes, two.
At a place called the Kangaroo?
No, it's called the Kangaroo Inn, and it's in Fontana. Don't look at me. I don't know, Phil. Frank has booked me into places where I swear I am lucky I got out of there with my dress on. So.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I am, too.
Well, I doubt very much, knowing how I know Frank feels about you, I don't think he wants to put you at risk.
Oh, is that right? Well, you ask Frank about the ham hock and how I walked out of there in a girdle and bra. I'm going to kick his ass.
All right, hey, watch it. All right, so that's pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's real heavy.
Sorry to hear that. We'll be talking with Margaret about the Kangaroo Inn in Fontana this weekend. And those two big sets, which, is there a drink minimum?
Never mind.
All right, I would like to make it out there.
Well, that'd be a change. Yes, you would be more than welcome out there, Phil. I'll buy you the drinks.
All right, we'll show up, and don't worry about it. I'm happy to pay for my drinks. How many, what's the...
It's two drink minimum. God, what are you, that cheap?
No, I ain't cheap. I'm just wondering. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with more. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch our daily video broadcast right now. You can watch our video cast. You can listen to our daily podcast of the show. You can listen to our daily classic podcast of the show. 5,000 hours of archived material, our news feed, and more. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And again, backstage pass over there, man. You cannot believe how beautiful a thing it is. And we just gave away a four-pack of shot glasses. If you're hanging around the website and you're a BSP, we'll be giving away a few. And I'm going to be spending more time on the website.
Oh, here we go again. You're always teasing the BSPs with that, and you never come through.
That's not true. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, you were here a while.
I was online, and I was talking to the BSPs every night until they started changing. They changed the website. We redesigned the website, so it had a completely different format, different ways of accessing it. And we were, as you remember, when we first changed the, redesigned the website and implemented all kinds of things, like streaming video from Akamai, and we went, we are now mobile, we have a fully mobile site. There's all kinds of stuff that needed to be corrected, and I got more into the nuts and bolts of it, and I haven't been interacting with the BSPs, but that's going to change.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Well, let's just talk about you here for a second, Margaret Gray, because Margaret is appearing at the Kangaroo Inn in Fontana.
Well, why do you say the Kangaroo Inn in Fontana? You know, Phil, there's all kinds of bars and clubs that have funny names. If you go to London... Hold on, I'm not done talking.
Sorry.
If you go to London, London Town, beautiful London Town... And the marvelous array of pubs that they have, the Frog and the Slut, whatever they're called.
Frog and the Slut?
I don't know, but they've got different names.
Yeah, I know that. But,
Oh, you know that. That's okay for them, but over here, what are we supposed to call our bars?
We could call it like, place like, you know, Joe's, or Joe's Inn, or something like that, called the Kangaroo.
Well, this one's called the Kangaroo. What do you want from me, Robert?
You probably tell your husband you don't want to play there.
Oh, okay, bud, that makes a lot of sense. I only want to play in clubs and bars that have normal names. Anything named after an animal?
Yeah, I would think that if you go, if like the kangaroo or...
What if it's a place called the Raven? I used to go and drink at a place called the Raven and the Rose.
That's gay.
No, it was not.
No, I'd say it's a gay bar, it's just...
It was a great bar. I loved the place. The Raven and the Rose.
Well, what about that?
That, yeah, that's okay, because it's a bird and it sounds cool. But a kangaroo, man, I wouldn't drink in a place like that with your mouth.
With my, you dirty...
Hey, watch out now.
I don't like the things he says.
All right, now, Margaret, let's talk about this set list. You're going to keep going after him. You know, I'm going to have you arrested or something.
You should have arrested you. You hurt me.
I never laid a hand on you.
All right, here is the set list for this Saturday night.
Yes, this Saturday night we'll be at the Kangaroo. Three big shows, two drink minimum. And if you come out, you'll see Phil Henry, because Phil promised to be there.
Yeah, I'll be there for at least one of the sets.
All right, that's fine. Thanks a lot, you know.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you're driving all the way to Fontana.
Well, that's a good point. But, I mean, what am I? I'm going to sit there and get hammered.
Well, then spend the night out in Fontana. There are beautiful, well...
Yeah.
You have to drive to Riverside to find a beautiful place to stay.
No, I'll think of something. So go ahead.
Well, in any event, Fontana's a wonderful part of the Inland Empire, i.e., as we call it. North Wind, Blow Bob's Love to Me. See, this is an adult set, and what this means is these are adult themes, but we like to have fun. Here's the song I was mentioning to you, My Bow-Legged Gal Sal. Well, my bow-legged gal Sal, she's my pal. She walks just like a cowboy, three guesses why. You know, like that.
Now, who's playing piano?
That is...
Clarence Gomez?
Who?
Clarence Gomez?
Yes, Clarence Gomez will be out. He'll be on the Yamaha 1000. My bow-legged gal named Sal, you know.
Three guesses why.
What are you laughing at now?
Well, guys, it is funny.
I'm not talking to you. If I've got to say that one more time...
All right, take it easy. They're funny lyrics, that's all.
Well, that's not supposed to be... I don't understand.
My bow-legged gal, Sal, she walks bow-legged like a cowboy, three guesses why.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you something.
You know, you're a real child, Phil. Honest to God, you are. You want to know why you've struggled so much in this industry? Because you're a little tiny baby. You're a baby, Phil, in a world of men.
Well.
The other songs are Catch the Scent of Me, The Smell of Love, In a Cloud of You. G-Spot, Do You Need More Water in Your Bowl? I like that one. What do you think?
Wait a minute. I'm still on The Smell of Love.
Yeah, what's that?
Forget about The Smell of Love. I wrote one called G-Spot, Do You Need More...
Oh, I get it, yeah.
Yeah, see?
That's great. That's great.
G-Spot, do you need more water in your bowl? G-Spot, is it that time to go out for a stroll? G-Spot, you left something on the rug. G-Spot, now I'm gonna be bugged. G-Spot, you're my dog. I'm trying to find the right melody for it. You know, your laughter doesn't lend anything to this. There are people out there that are looking forward to the show, and you're sitting there going, yoo-hoo! Like a big fat baby, like a fat pink infant. Forget it.
Oh, come on, Mar, wait! Wait, don't leave, don't leave, please don't leave.
Why, so you can sit there and laugh?
Yeah, but the stuff's funny.
No, it's not. I'm not laughing at you. Isn't that stuff supposed to be funny? Are you trying to tell me that's not supposed to be funny?
It's whimsical, Phil. It's not a ha ha ha. It's not childish, frat brother, fall on the floor, light a fart funny. No, it's not that funny.
Well, I...
You what?
It's funny to me, that's all.
All right, then we have one called A Rug Burn in Damascus. And this is really... It has a... I swear, you want me to sit here while this one over here is going...
I can't help it.
Shut up, bud. Just because I'm laughing doesn't mean you get to laugh. Do you understand? Do as I say, not as I do.
That's not fair. All adults say that all the time.
Yeah, well, here's another adult saying it. What's it called?
A rug burn in Damascus, and it has a very Middle Eastern... I just love the whole Middle Eastern flavor. There's so much violence there now, Phil. There was a time that you could go on vacation to places, very exotic places, Baghdad and Damascus. Those places used to represent a sort of mystery, a romantic mystery, and now it's just, now they're just Islamic slums, you know.
Well, watch it, Margaret. You're going to be offending people.
No, I don't mean Islam. I'm just saying now they're... Now it's just the sweating, stench-filled Arab street, you know. I don't know.
All right, so, rug burn in Damascus.
Yes, rug burn in Damascus. Oh, I got a rug burn in the town of Damascus. Get Frank on the phone because he knows that melody. But basically it's, you and I went there for our honeymoon. Then we decided that we would be on the ground, you know, like that. And then...
You got a rug burn in Damascus.
Yes, you got a rug burn in Damascus. The next one is called My Knees, My Lower Back, and You. I love that. It's a play on, you know, this, and then you. My Knees, My Lower Back, and You.
And what does that mean?
What does it mean?
Man, you ought to be able to figure that one out, Miss Emily.
Oh, I see. Your back hurts and your knees hurt, and that's after making love to you.
Not me.
I mean, the you in the song.
Yes. Penicillin Avenue it's a play on Eddie Grant. Walk down to Penicillin Avenue. Out in the street they are fighting, you know. And then the final one is I'll Burn in Hell for Sure Now. And that's really not a funny one. That one is The Passion of Love and what you'll do for love, even infect three or four other partners before you find the one. You don't approve.
No, I don't. I don't approve at all. You'd say that that's serious?
You know, Phil, you start looking like my father when you do that, and I don't like that.
Well, I'm so sorry if I'm looking like your father, but I'll burn in hell for sure now means that you finally found love even after infecting three or four partners.
Yes, Phil, it is a romantic song. And by the way, I'm looking on TV at that incognito. That man... is mentally unstable. That man is roid nuts.
He's roid. Yeah, Richie Incognito looks like a mental case. We'll have to. He's been suspended indefinitely. Are we talking about him or the songs?
No, I'm just looking at the.
We'll talk about that in a minute. So those are the songs. Is that the entire set list?
It's not the entire set list, no. But it has. What is this?
Well, this is just, these are talking points for the commercial that I was doing. So this is the set list for the Kangaroo Inn in Fontana this coming Saturday night. When does the first show start?
We'll be on stage at 9 o'clock. I think the Beecham Stone Experience is going to be, no, excuse me. Yes, Beecham Stone Experience will be opening and then will be accompanying us in some of the sets. Then the second set is at 10 and the third set at 11. We don't take any break. We just go boom, 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 because, frankly, I want out of that. I want out of there fast. So.
Yeah. All right, Margaret, good for you, and we're looking forward to that, and I'll be there. So if you want to give me any crap, you can't watch it because I'm going to be there. I'm backing up my whimsy, as you put it, Margaret, with, you know.
I appreciate that very much.
Okay. Although I can't wait to hear I'll Burn in Hell for Sure and Rug Burn in Damascus. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you talk about three guesses. That's the one that you ought to have the three guesses on, not the other one. That, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying, and all the more reason why I don't care what you're saying, bud. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back here. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and we got a guy on the line here, Garrett Farber. You know this guy?
Oh, my God, is Garrett on the phone?
We have Garrett on the line. By the way, before we get to Garrett, we have next hour special guest Jack I. Gagner, Jack, the former play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions, is going to give us the background and the real scoop on just exactly what happened to Dickman America, the football league, the Milwaukee Lions, and why they had to suspend operations for the 2013 season. A lot of people were looking forward to the Lions playing football, not the least of which ourselves, since we were we carried the games. But Jack will be with us after the top of the hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, Garrett Beecham with us, no relation to Beecham Stone and the sound explosion. Garrett, you were the author of The Smell of Love.
Well, are you telling me, or are you...
No, I mean, I guess it's more of a question.
Yeah, I was the author of The Smell of Love. Margaret, how are you?
Garrett, I am so happy to talk to you. It's been ages, and we're very proud to do The Smell of Love on Saturday night.
Thank you very much. I'm very gratified. I was driving down the road, and I was channel surfing, like they say, and I heard Margaret, and I pulled in here. I come here to the White Plains Casino when I have a chance.
Where are you right now?
I'm in New York State. It's late, probably well past my bedtime, but I thought I'd come in and play a little video poker.
Garrett, I have to tell you that The Smell of Love has been... an enjoyable song to do in this new adult set list that we're doing. But my understanding is when you wrote The Smell of Love, it was the result of you losing your olfactory sense. Is that correct?
It was the result of me losing what?
Your olfactory?
Your olfactory, the ability to smell?
Yes, that is exactly right. I suffered a brain injury, Phil and Margaret, coming out of a nightclub one night. When I walked under a sign that was being replaced, it was a coffee shop right next door to the nightclub. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they were putting up a new sign for this coffee shop. And I looked up just in time to see the sign come crashing down on me. And when I awoke, they told me I'd been out for about 3 weeks.
You're kidding. You were in a coma.
That's what they told me, yeah.
I remember the story, Garrett, I do.
And so I recovered very nicely. There was nothing wrong. I had a little bit of occupational therapy, but suddenly I couldn't smell anything. And that was the result of me finding out the hard way that I had, God forgive me for saying this, but I had apparently soiled myself or messed myself in the hospital bed, and I laid in it for about 2 days until someone came around and said...
2 days? Where was the nurse?
I don't know. I don't have any idea. It was not a very good hospital, but finally someone said, "What is that smell?" And I said, "I can't smell a thing." And they came in and changed the sheets. And that's when I wrote The Smell of Love, because I suddenly realized that I missed... Well, I can't really say here...
Don't say, but...
You can well imagine.
Okay. Can you sing it for us?
Garrett, will you sing it?
Well, I'm not a very good singer, but I took it from the beautiful Bacharach and David song, The Look of Love, the smell of love. It smells like you, and you can smell so good tonight. Yay. I did a lot of that. And then let's see, it goes...
The smell of love, it smells like you.
Yeah, it smells like you. And tonight you smell real good, something like that.
And tonight you smell like the morning dew.
Yeah, that's it. Tonight you smell like the morning dew. Even though it's night, you smell like it's a fresh morning in the pasture, right?
No, even though it's the middle of the night, yes, you smell like a pasture in the morning.
Right. Funny, huh?
Well, I'm sorry.
I am embarrassed. Garrett, would you please accept my apologies?
That's fine. Never mind. Is that my drink? Yeah. I gotta go.
How dare you?
I'm sorry, Margaret. I'm not supposed to laugh.
You kidding, man? That was pretty funny.
How dare you? That was Garrett Beecham, the man who...
Oh, would you give me a break? That guy's singing, "You smell like, even though it's the middle of the night, you smell like a pasture in the morning."
You know, Phil, one would almost think you're in the right here.
I am. I'm telling you right now. How am I not supposed to laugh at that? How am I not supposed to laugh at that?
Come on, Miss Gray. You know how it is.
What are you talking... What do you mean, I know how it is?
Come on, you know how this game's played.
I know how the game... You sound like someone ready to flash a $20 bill at me. If that's the case, you'll never speak an intelligible word again. Not that you can now. But that tongue you've got in your head, which doesn't do you much good, I can tell you right now...
All right, enough of that kind of talk, please. Now, Margaret, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I didn't mean to get Mr. Beecham to hang up. If we can, we'll try to get him back on the phone. But it was very funny when he said, even though it's the middle of the night, you smell like a pasture in the morning.
What is funny about that?
What do you think a pasture in the morning smells like?
Oh, I get it. So you think we're standing near a dairy.
Woo!
What's that mean?
It means exactly what I said. This guy, this Gary...
All of a sudden now he's some guy, like he's some bum that called the wrong number. Are there tampons, Bud?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, of course.
No, not of course.
No, of course. Of course, that's what you always do. Are there tampons? I mean, what?
Don't ask me. How do I answer?
Whatever happened to you, Mr. Beecham, when you lost your olfactory sense, I think you forgot what a pasture in the morning smells like.
Yeah, no kidding, man. But all you got to do is take a drive down there to dairy.
Well, you know, they don't have those dairies anymore, and I don't think this makes me old. I really don't think this makes me old, okay? But I must be, because, look, when I was a kid and I went to Annunciation School in Arcadia, California, that was my first grade year, and then we moved to a different part of Arcadia and went to a different school. But I was a first grader, and when we were when we went out for recess... You know, I was a little six-year-old kid, but I remember distinctly when we went out for recess, we'd go out to the field. We had a big athletic field right next door to an Altadena Dairy store. But this Altadena Dairy had cows, and they milked these cows, and they sold that milk. Now, Altadena used to sell raw milk. I used to drink it, and some jackass... And I say this fully knowing what I'm saying. Some jackass who couldn't stand the idea that Altadena was selling raw milk got them inspected regularly. Just enough time so that they got all kinds of bad press. Altadena inspected again. Altadena inspected again. Anyway, make a long story short, they had cows, and you could smell that cow dung, man. And I have the distinct memory of being a little kid going out and playing kickball or whatever the hell we did at recess, smelling cow crap, you know.
It must have been pretty ripe.
Oh, yeah, it was ripe. It was in the morning, right after the cows finished eating their breakfast. You better believe it, friend.
Man.
Yeah. But I don't think they have dairies like that anymore. I mean, they got cows, and they milk cows, and they, you know, but not in the city like that. This was right in a suburban part of L.A. It was whack. It was nuts. All right, Margaret, you going to be okay?
You know, you've embarrassed me and yourself, Phil.
No, I haven't embarrassed you. All right, we're going to be back. I'm going to have to go and, I guess, apologize or something. I don't know what I'm going to have to do. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Coming up, we will be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest at the end of January. Now, we've got the date. It's going to be January 26th, and we are going to be on stage at 8 o'clock, and you can make plans for that. I mentioned that we're going to be on Drunk History on Comedy Central, and we may make our bonus show on Saturdays a regular part of our video casts because people responded so well to it. But if we do it again...
Get some pictures and stuff.
Yeah, we'll try to get some pictures up. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Coming up, we've got Jack I. Gagner next hour. Stick around. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Well, I finally watched that Richie Incognito video with the audio. You know, I mean, I've been watching this damn thing with the sound down for days. I don't know what he said, man. I can't understand anything he's saying. But according to TMZ, which sounds like... you know, TMZ is fantastic. TMZ has trivialized everything to the point that even the N-word, you know, being freely used in... Because did you see the report?
Well, the reporter for TMZ, I think I know who that was. I think that's Dwayne Fondell.
No, I don't know. How do you know it's Dwayne Fondell?
Sounds like him.
Well, this cat is on TMZ.
And that is Richie Incognito.
This is the way the guy sounded.
That's Richie Incognito. Is it ever okay to use the N-word?
That's exactly. He sounded like a cartoon character. And, you know, and TMZ knows that they have these kind of cartoony-sounding guys, and everything on that channel is now just one big fat cartoon, you know, and maybe that's the way it ought to be, but please don't get, you know, upset if somebody starts rolling the N-word with the kind of wild abandon that Richie Incognito was using. Even though there were black teammates... Or there were people in the bar. It was a pool hall in Fort Lauderdale, and Incognito comes in. The guy's all, you know, he looks like a typical, whatever he is, linebacker, defensive lineman. He's got the big guns, and he's got a big chest, big shoulders, and the big fat gut. And he's running around the bar there and talking about Mike Pouncey, who he was in the bar with.
Now, who's that?
One of his teammates. And calling Pouncey the N-word. I don't know. I don't know what his thing was, you know. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of guys that are... that's how they fire themselves up with all kinds of insanity. You know, they try to play like they're nuts, but... That dude, you know, the first... That guy is the reason why people think of roid rage. I'm not saying that that's what he's got, but it's...
Yeah, you don't know if that guy's on roids or he's just being crazy.
A lot of guys are crazy like that. Or they act like they're crazy.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, they're not really crazy. They're just going into that... what do you guys call it? That cray-cray act?
Yeah, the guy's cray-cray.
Okay. Anyway, but the guy on TMZ was the guy I'm talking about.
Yes, this is Richie Incognito. Why, is it ever okay to use the N-word?
Is it ever okay? Wow, man, you guys are really getting me to think. Thank you very much, TMZ, for those thought-provoking moral dilemmas. Is it ever really okay? Because you guys are, man... You guys, every time I see TMZ attached to a story, I'm thinking, yeah, I know it's news, but it's much more than news. It's news at about at 11, you know, like the Spinal Tap joke. Turn it up to 11, man. All right, speaking of football, we have with us a guy that we haven't heard from in a long time, and not that he's been away or avoiding us, but that there just hasn't been any football season. And he's holding forth as well over at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Sounds like there must be some kind of a convention going on over there, or at least a meeting of the tribes or something. Jack I. Gagner with us here in Los Angeles, down from Milwaukee, where you live, Jack, I understand, year-round, right?
Exactly right, Bill, and we spend most of our time in Milwaukee. We also have a lake house up there, but I've been about here on the coast right now, is looking into some different opportunities business-wise, including this game of the week that your website is doing with Bozell and with Mr. Dickman there.
And how is Brett Morrison, your partner?
Yeah, Brett's doing okay. He's got a deal. I think he's going to be calling some of the games on radio for the NFL. He's going to be doing some color commentating on that, which I think is pretty interesting. He'd never been in the NFL himself. He played, was a coach and a player in Dickman America. But
so tell me what happened with the Milwaukee Lions and...
the Lions and all the teams in Dickman America were, struggling. I mean, they had good crowds and they had a good attendance, but never enough money either from television revenue or from radio rights or from advertising or merchandise, never enough money to support the kinds of operations these teams wanted to have, to sign some players that were going to cost a little bit of money. This last season became a particularly problematic, this season I should say right now, 2013, became particularly problematic. You had an owner in Utah that was already exhibiting signs of some kind of a dementia, and this man who had been a silver miner, understand that this elderly gentleman had been a silver miner.
What's the guy's name?
He's the owner. He was the owner of the Utah Flaming Cavalry. They went to the Dickman Bowl.
I remember this man. He was interviewed on one of your broadcasts.
That's right. I don't remember his name right now, and I don't have any research assistance here or help to.
Can we look it up online, Bud?
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy came out of a silver mine, half mad, but with enough money to buy a football team, and that's what he did. He spent most of last season, 2012, traveling the world with this Playboy model that he had as a girlfriend. You know, Playboy shut down, I guess, so he was taking some of these models off their hands over there. But the point being they wound up going to the Dickman Bowl, and this guy, by the time they went to the Dickman Bowl and we was doing interviews and stuff, he was half mad with some kind of silver disease or something in the brain.
Well, that's from breathing, what was it, molten silver?
I don't know. I don't know.
And what do you mean he was taking Playboy bunnies off of their hands?
Well, I mean, the Playboy magazine was shutting down. So it was like a fire sale on Playboy bunnies.
Well, you don't mean literally buying them.
No. I'm just saying, you know, they're looking for something to do.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah. So there was that. And then you had just a lot of bad blood around the league for a variety of reasons. And the Miami franchise was having problems. They had a name change. They had a venue change. They were playing their football games at a place that used to be a bowling ground for senior citizens. It was bad. And then the Tampa franchise, the Gator Bait, they were playing in a stadium that was right at the end of a runway in Clearwater, and they almost had a plane crash in the middle of a football game.
So it's a typical situation with a lot of these leagues that are operating on a wing and a prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. A wing and a prayer. I like that. I like that.
You like what?
The plane almost crashed. Oh,
yeah. No, I wasn't trying to make a joke.
No. But I'd like how it just come out that way anyway. So I think that all in all, it was a really disastrous start. And so they decided to take this season off and make another run at it, I guess.
You had a problem, and I'm loath to bring this up, but you said you were willing to talk about it, Jack. You had a problem mid-season with the owner of the Lions?
Right. The person that owns the team is a woman by the name of Edna. She bought the ball club from Bruce Fryer, the guy that I knew who had owned the team and had hired me, and then she bought the ball club. Her name's Edna Gerber. And she had a kid by the name of Touch Gerber that was foisted on us during the season. We had to have this kid in the booth. He was supposed to be a spotter. He never spotted anything. I don't think I got one bit of information from him having to do with what was going on the field. He was out getting ice cream. He's off getting a hot dog.
And we would hear the games, and you were quite vocal with how bad a job he was doing.
Yeah, we're talking about Touch Gerber ain't here, Touch Gerber this, that, something else.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm not denying it. I was very upset with first of all, I was upset with the fact that she forced this kid on us. And I told Lou Gooch, who was our producer, and Lou and I had, we threw fists on each other during one of the games. I told him, I said, I don't want this kid in my booth. I threw him out of the booth, I don't know how many times, he comes crawling back in.
You're throwing him out of the front of that booth and down about three flights of stairs, right?
That's right, figuring that would stop him. No, I turn around, and he's crawling through the door of the press box, and he's still there. And so what happened, it all culminated in one of the games where, you know, Mrs. Gerber was up there with her son, and I went crazy.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. What you did was what you did.
Well, what was that, Phil? I mean, you got a bunch of people out there want to know what it was.
Well, you assaulted both of them in a sexual way.
Okay, what do you want from me?
Are you kidding me?
Miss Gray, you must have heard about it. It was in all the papers.
I didn't hear of any such thing.
Well, I did. You know, I said, you know, I've had it. I've had it. Both of you, well...
And there was a whole thing worked out, I guess, subsequent to that?
Yeah, I was allowed to finish out the season. But here's the thing. You can't prove that what it was an assault, because she called me that night and asked me out for a drink to, quote, talk about it. And I went to my attorney. I said, so what's going on here? He says, maybe...
You know...
You wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to clear the air in this thing. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it was...
I told you what happened, and it was on the air.
Well, it was one of the more unseemly events. Let's take a break. We're on with Jack Eichagder, the former play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions, who were on our website, those games. You can still actually hear the podcast if you visit us at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back. We've got a lot more to talk to you about, a lot more to discuss, a lot more to do. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhendryshow.com. After the show, check out our homepage, and you'll see a show log posted. Good, bad, or in between, man. We always have a log about the show, and it's posted right there. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, there is a podcast of our show available to our subscribers. There is always a classic podcast drawn from the 5,000 hours of archive material. So we got it going on. Jack Eichagder on the phone with us here from here in the city of L.A. He's at Ted's in Beverly Hills. Jack was the play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions. If you go on site, you can see that we have the Lion podcast there as well. So people at least will be able to enjoy you, Jack, if you guys aren't back anytime soon. Is there any plan for, and I know that the season was suspended for 2013 for a variety of reasons. You've worked out your problems with Edna Gerber.
And I want to say one other thing, Phil, to that end. I think it needs to be said that her son, Touch Gerber, this kid that I'd had this problem with during a regular season, and this kid that was, as I said, he was forced upon myself and Brett. We had to deal with him. We had to use him. He was a spotter.
And he didn't do the job.
He didn't do the job at all. He was out every time I was looking for a play, every time I was looking for a jersey number or a name, he's off getting hot dogs or something. When I finally made an issue out of it, that's when his mother walks into the booth, and that's when we had the situation. But I found out something subsequent, which also played into the fact that I'm going to make a statement for you right now, Phil, that Edna Gerber will be gone from the Milwaukee Lions before Jack Eichagder. And I found out, and the reason why I was reminded of it was because of this guy that's the mayor of Toronto, Canada. Have you been reading about this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Rob Ford, is that it?
Yeah, well, Touch Gerber has been a rockhead from way back, and I found out about that.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. This kid's had, he's been sucking on a glass pipe for as long as probably for as long as he's been sucking on anything, and I found out about that, and I went to Rocco, who was the head of communications, and he's a real ass, this Rocco, and they put that guy in there too.
Is he still running things there?
Yeah, well, he's been kicked downstairs, and Brett's going to take, if we ever do get back on the air, Brett's going to take over the communication, which I think is fantastic. But here's the thing, I went to this guy Rocco and I said, this kid's a rockhead, this Gerber. He said, you will not repeat that to nobody. This guy is talking to me like I'm some gopher, right? I'm Jack Eichagder. I said to this guy, I've been around Milwaukee sports for a long time. He said, well, you will not. He's giving me this thing. He's reading me the riot act, you know? And I said, Rocco, come on. You're making me laugh. I said, this kid, Touch Gerber, is smoking crack, literally. And he said, well, you're smoking crack of you. I said, I happen to know because I happen to know the cop that arrested him.
So you got a hold of his arrest record or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, you got to do a better job, Rocco, of covering this stuff up for the team because this kid's arrest record is a matter of public record. He's a crackhead, and he's the son of the team owner. And I never heard another word about her coming into the booth, him coming into the booth, anything I was alleged to have done, nothing else. That was the end of that. And the next thing I know, they're off at an owner's meeting, and they suspended the season.
Well, you don't think that, and this is really kind of, you don't think that the league suspended operation because they had this kind of a problem in multiple forms?
Well, what do you mean by that, like with other teams?
I'm saying, did they have other unseemly and scandalous news that they had to deal with?
I don't know. I don't think so. And even if they did, I don't think that's going to stop a football. I think the thing that stopped the football season is they don't have the money. They just ain't got the money. So we'll see about next year, 2014. But if not, you know, we'll turn up doing something else. But this Touch Gerber, and I was willing to work with this kid, but he's a lazy SOB, sucking down hot dogs, shoving that cotton candy into his kisser like there ain't no tomorrow. And then when he's not doing that, he's blasting up on the and the other thing that I had a problem with, and I think you probably heard and some of the fans heard, there was a kid out behind the booth on a skateboard.
Yeah, I heard that. Every home game.
Every home game. You could hear this kid on the skateboard going up and down a ramp. And I would say to this Touch Gerber, I said, hey, why don't you do something constructive? Go out there and kick that kid's ass. Get him out of here or something. And he's like, yeah, okay, Mr. Igagno, I'm right on it, sir. And then I wouldn't see him for a half an hour. He'd come back with, like, two boxes with a chili dog and a chili fries. And he's got, oh, man.
All right, well, you know what? All's well that ends well, man. I doubt seriously, as you said, you'll be dealing with him anymore. I think it's all uphill from here.
Hey, you know what? Your lips to God's ears. Or your lips to my... Well, never mind. I don't want to make a joke.
Oh, my God.
There's pretty good, Mr. Igagner.
I'm sorry, Phil. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Well, you know, in mixed company, not such a great idea.
Well, I pulled that joke out at the owner's meeting. Somebody said, your lips to God's ears. And I said, well, I'd much prefer your lips to my, you know, blank, blank. And I turn around, guess who said it? It was Edna Gerber. So I can't win for losing.
You got to be kidding. You didn't hear that it was a woman talking?
I knew it was a woman. I didn't know it was Gerber. And so she's blah, 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 blah. And, well, you know, and a guy says something. She says, well, your lips to God's ears. And I said, I turn around, I go, hey, let me tell you what, your lips to my, and then I saw it was Gerber, and I went, oh, holy God. You know, I almost got sick.
Okay, Jack, thank you.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks very much, Jack. I gagged her.
What a disgusting man he is.
Are you kidding me? Mr. I Gagger's the best.
He's colorful, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's colorful.
I think he is absolutely disgusting. And to make a joke like that, and to get away with what he got away with, because her son is a crack cocaine addict, I think it's a tragedy. I don't think there's anything funny about it.
There probably isn't anything funny about it, but the way Jack tells it, it's hysterical.
Yeah, no kidding. Your lips to...
Don't you dare say it.
All right, okay, never mind. So there's Jack Igagner. We will find out whether we have a football season next year with the Milwaukee Lions or not. It was kind of a drag, but you can get all of the 2012 season. It's available at philhenryshow.com. All of the games from the preseason all the way on through the playoffs. Jack was the play-by-play guy for the Dickman Bowl, as well as some of the playoff games. So it's there at philhenryshow.com. All right, we're going to come back and clean up some of the dregs of the news today, some of the odds, some of the ends, some of the weirdness. We're going to pick up where it all left off. We're going to try and get out a dustpan. We're going to try and sweep some of the filth into that pan. In other words, let's just, you know, talk about stuff, huh?
Well, I've got a couple of things I want to get off my chest, and it has to do with our appearance this weekend.
I don't want to talk anymore about your club date.
So you're going to let the smell of love just linger in the air. Get it?
So I'm not allowed to joke about this stuff.
Oh, give me a break, Phil.
All right, anyway, we will be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more right after this. As I said, visit us at philhenryshow.com. You can get the background on all of this swill.
I was the third brother of five. You still have a minute and 40 seconds.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you got a minute 40.
Well, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, turn the music down. Why did I start early?
I don't know.
And what is it with you? I still have...
Wait a minute. You said I got a minute 40 left.
Well, now you have less.
Yeah.
And then you said I still have 1 minute. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I somehow misread the clock. I apologize. We have a little bit of extra time, so forgive me. I thought we were going to a break here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to get back to what it was I wanted to discuss here coming outside of the break, or after the break, among this stuff that we want to talk about, is this Richie Incognito and this Martin thing and the fact that this guy is now suspended. And the raging, crazed scene in that bar is not even the beginning of this story. The beginning of this story has to do with this so-called hazing scandal, or this hazing incident that took place with the Miami Dolphins on a kid by the name of Martin by Incognito. So we're going to talk about that and more. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the hazing scandal.
Well, I don't understand why there's still hazing in the National Football League. Isn't this a big grown-up league?
Yes, it is.
It's not Pop Warner.
No, it isn't Pop Warner. It's a big grown-up league, and...
don't think so.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And, all right, so we got our act together now.
Well, I never had my act not together.
All right, but Miami Dolphins workplace bullying has the nation talking. Right there, that's a headline that's horse dung right there. The nation isn't talking about the Miami Dolphins workplace bullying. The media's talking about the Miami Dolphins workplace bullying. They must be talking about the nation of media. See, that's one of the problems we got.
What are you talking about?
Yes.
What I'm saying is... it's interesting to talk about the Miami Dolphin workplace, quote, bullying, but nobody in the country is looking on it as a workplace bullying issue. Nobody in the country is looking on it like that.
Well, how are they looking on it then?
They're looking on it as a football team with a bunch of big guys that are pushing around the younger guys, and that's what they do. You know, it's like a hazing slash rookie, you know, veteran thing. It's got to do with it. Nobody in America can relate to the National Football League as a workplace. That's for starters, okay? I don't care who you are, unless, you know, you're a professional football player or someone who's really heavy into the entertainment business. The fact is, it's an experience so far beyond what the rest of us are used to. We're not looking at it as a workplace thing. Now, most of us, if we have an opinion about it, we'll go ahead and just go along with whatever these clowns are talking about on television. We don't know.
Well, Phil, I think that you are not giving people...
You don't know what you're talking about, neither.
I don't know what I'm talking about, neither.
No, you're just going along. You're just talking because you need to.
I had to belt you in the...
Hey, watch it, okay?
What is that supposed to mean? I'm talking because I need to.
You don't have an opinion about it.
Well, what's your opinion about it, Margaret? Seriously.
My opinion about what, the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah.
That they're wrong in allowing this man, this slob... Let me tell you something, Phil, because I can look at a television set just as easily as anyone else, and this Incognito, whatever or whoever he is, I don't care if he's a football player... I don't care if he's a professional bowler. It doesn't matter to me if he's an archaeologist. He looks like a slob. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
He looks like a dirty, rotten, filthy slob. And what you do with something like that, in my opinion, my father used to say, you put a bullet into it.
Oh, man, Margaret.
You asked me a question.
Whoa. I'm not asking. Take it easy, will you?
Did you ask me a question? That's my opinion.
All right, I mean, that's an opinion.
You put up, if, I'm not saying just, but if he approached me the way he was approaching those people, those patrons in that bar, I'd go ahead and, I'd cap his.
Babe, Margaret, you talking about like some kind of gangster or something.
Well, there, if, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it.
All right, look, let's back way off of that kind of talk. Now, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, the guy looks like a slob, but I will tell you this. Whatever opinions we have, we are getting them directly from the talking heads, because the average person doesn't know from this situation. We heard about a kid, he had to leave camp, he was being bullied. How do you bully a guy that's 6 foot eight and 800 pounds? How do you bully a guy like that? Well, if you're a veteran on the team and you want to, and the kid wants to make the team, obviously he's got to do stuff. And so it's some meathead run amok. Now, if there's one thing that we all know, because we've all experienced it, is being pushed around by some thick-necked ass like that. When I was in high school, especially if we went to parties on a weekend, there was always one guy at the party who was from the school football team, or he was from the school wrestling team, or he was one of these guys, and there was always this guy, I'll never forget this dude as long as I live, because I saw him at every party, trying to pick a fight with somebody. Wanted to pick a fight with somebody. He was always getting into it with people. And every single party, when you saw this guy at this party, was like, oh, this is going to be a bummer because there's that jackass again. He even tried to pick a fight with me. And when I was in high school, I was a string bean, man. I mean, I was a runt. And this dude is, you know, trying to... anybody. And then I would see him at school kissing ass and sucking up to the teachers. I hated this guy. So the automatic reaction that I have...
But did you go get a gun and kill... Well, you didn't kill nobody.
Did I do what?
What, bud?
Well, I'm just asking. You got bullied.
I got... At parties. I didn't get bullied on campus. At parties, this guy bullied everybody. You know, he bullied everybody at the parties. On campus, it was a different story. This guy was a... He, you know, kissed ass. He kissed ass. I played third string football. This guy was on a football team my senior year. And what a suck-up. You know, I couldn't stand this guy. But did I get a gun? No, I didn't get a gun.
What about all those kids that go out and get a gun because they're bullied?
They're getting a gun not because they're bullied. They're getting a gun because there's something wrong with them upstairs. That's why they're getting a gun. Do you understand me?
Yeah, okay.
Just stop with all of that.
So you don't think it has anything to do with it?
No, it doesn't have anything to do. All right, so... this guy Incognito is running amok, and sure, we've all been bullied, so maybe we can appreciate it from that standpoint. But man, we don't understand NFL workplace harassment, my ass. And then the headline here that I had to print this off: Miami Dolphin workplace bullying has the nation talking. I hate to break the news to you, KSDK in St. Louis, but no, it doesn't. It doesn't have the nation talking. It has you guys talking. It has the newspapers talking. It has sports radio talking. The rest of the country, we got far too much to worry about, man, than this horse dung. You understand? I mean, we got way too much to worry about than what's going on in the workplace of the Miami Dolphins. Are you serious? Throw a bunch of money at these guys and some raw meat. That's what most of us think. Now, is it right? Is it wrong? It's probably wrong. Should it be corrected? Yes, it should be corrected. Should we sit here and yak about it on talk radio? No.
Well, then why are you talking about it?
Because it says here that the nation's talking about it, so I thought I'd address whether the nation was talking about it or not. My feeling is it is a National Football League problem having to do with the traditional relationships between veterans and rookies. This has been a time-honored tradition of hazing rookies or hazing first or second-year players. It could very well be that these two guys have got a situation, an issue. The team had better, you know, figure it out in case something more serious happens. Figure out what's wrong with this guy Incognito. Send this jackass in and have his head examined. That's what I think they ought to do. Hey, Rich, you want back on the team? Yes, I do, sir. Okay, I want to put you in there for an EKG. You know what? Or an EEG. You know what that is? That's where they read your brain waves, man.
Yeah, he'd get all nervous about it.
I hope he does. I want you in, because there are doctors that can do this, and more companies ought to do this. Some of these companies, you talk about national health care. Let me explain something. Even the most ardent opponent of Obamacare, in his most private moments, unless he's completely stupid, recognizes that there are situations out there in the workplace and elsewhere where some people really need to have a head shrinker or a doctor look at their brain, because there might be something wrong with them and they may be an accident waiting to happen. We've seen too much of it to know that that it's any different. We know. We see this thing go on in Connecticut, in Newtown, with those little children, and even the most conservative people in the country finally had to wake up and say, all right, how the hell are these people getting guns? What's going on here, okay? Now, let's take a look at this Miami Dolphins situation. This guy, Incognito, maybe he's okay, maybe he's a great guy, maybe he's clowning, I don't know, but he's drawn enough attention now where what they should do with him is tell him to go to a doctor or send him to a team doctor. Put the EEG on him, read those brain waves, man, because there are doctors that can do that, and start to diagnose whether there's something seriously wrong with this jackass. And if there is, maybe he needs to be medicated. Maybe he needs to get off of some medication. Maybe he needs to just calm the hell down. Whatever his problem is, they can deal with it. And they can deal with it with a lot of different people that exhibit this kind of antisocial behavior. It's not voodoo. It isn't magic. We have it within our grasp now to figure out if somebody has unusual brain activity, has unusual characteristics in terms of personality or their behavior toward others, and you can treat it. We have the ability to do that. Only a complete idiot wouldn't want to address the problem that way. And I know that we live in a country filled with complete idiots these days. I mean, all you have to do is go on Facebook and you can see per capita how many absolute abject morons we have living in this country. But the fact is, we can solve a lot of these problems.
Well, good luck, Phil, because they're not going to start just passing out the meds to anybody they suspect of being mental.
Let me ask you a question. This guy Incognito, does he look like there's something wrong with him?
Yeah, sort of, but maybe not. Maybe he's just...
Let me ask something. Didn't he force some guy from the team? Isn't there a guy that's like was considering suicide? I mean, this kid that went out, that was given time off from the team, Martin, this guy was in a pretty bad way as the result of the harassment of this clown Incognito, whose name is, like the guy said in the paper, you know, he hasn't lived up to the promise of the name. So if that's the situation, and you know what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs and other situations around the country, why not have this guy go in for whatever kind of an evaluation can be done? I think they ought to do it today. I think more companies ought to do it. If it costs money, that's tough. You know, that's just too bad. Maybe you can't afford to be in the business of a professional football team, Dolphins. What do you think about that?
Well, they'll pass the cost along to the consumer. Higher ticket prices.
If the Miami Dolphins passed along to the fans the cost of the psychiatric evaluation of some of their players to make the workplace safer or at least saner, if they actually did that, they would deserve to lose every fan they've got. But it's Miami, and it's the Miami Dolphins, and that doesn't exactly equate to brain surgery, so I don't think that's going to happen. I thank you.
Boy, you really know how to piss people off, don't you?
That's me. All right, we'll be right back with the final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that's weird.
All right, yeah. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
B.B. King.
That's B.B. King. Anyway, welcome back to the program, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. After the show, as I mentioned, we have our show log up, and of course our podcast is available. We have our classic podcast. Bobby Dooley's podcast is just doing swimmingly. She's getting some serious action over there, so Bobby is daily, and the Dana Gould interview that she did has been posted, and that is up and ready as well. So there's a lot going on and more. And I was mentioning, and perhaps I shouldn't go public with this.
Oh, Phil, if I were you, I'd be very careful. How do you know what I'm going to even talk about?
You can talk about animation.
Well, why don't you let me talk about it then and not anticipate, okay?
I think you should be...
Let me just explain something, because I have said to my audience, first of all, for those of you who have said, when's this one-man show? It's rolling out on the 26th of January at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. Do I lie to you? I may take time. I may be a little tardy. I may be a little late, but I'd never lie. So we're going to roll that out, and I hope you come to San Francisco. If you can't, I would beg, borrow, and steal. I hope you hitchhike. I hope you stow away into the wheel well of a jetliner so that when they open it up to land, you go falling. I'm kidding.
That happened to a guy one time.
I know. I know it did.
You're kidding me.
No, you didn't hear about that?
What did?
Some guy stowed away in the wheel well of a jet, and when they opened up the wheels...
He fell out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he fell out. You better believe he fell out. And I don't even know if he fell out when they opened the wheels up. He fell out, and he fell so far that when they finally found the body, it was just like a shirt and some socks.
Yeah, just black hair.
Like just his hair and a shirt and socks.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, when they found the guy, it wasn't, you know... He'd fallen from a great height. And can you imagine being out mowing your lawn or something, and that hits the street? Dude, that would be, like, scary.
Well, first of all, it would be traveling at an unbelievable... And listen to us saying it. He would be traveling at an unbelievable rate of speed, most likely already dead.
I would hope so.
Why would you hope so?
Because I would hope that the guy was already dead before he hit the ground. Man, that's a long way to fall. But they found this guy, and that was the end of that, man.
Any chance a guy'd survive that?
No, bud. How could there...
Are you out of your mind, man? How the guy gonna survive something like that? If something broke his fall.
What's gonna break your fall coming out of a jetliner's wheel well?
I don't know, like a bird?
A bird? I gotta kick your ass.
Hey, watch it.
Just for sport.
A bird.
Well, a bird's what they made the jet land in the river, that one guy, Sullenberger, or whatever his name was.
Sullenberger, Mr. the captain?
Yeah.
It was a bird that got into the engine, yes. That's an enormous piece of machinery, that jet turbine. A bird ain't going to break your fall when you're coming out of the wheel well of a jet. I don't know what happened, but it was a story, and you might want to look that up online. It was a brutal story. However, what I wanted to say was, the other thing that I've talked about on this program is the animation effort that is underway, that is being engaged in by myself and my partners. Now then.
Take it easy, Phil. You don't want to get too far ahead of people.
Now, hold on. One of the things that is a true thing in the world of entertainment is that everybody's looking for money. Everybody needs money. You need money to make a movie. You need money to make a TV show. You need money to write a script. You even need money to do a pilot. You need money, 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 money. And you got to pay people, and you got all this stuff, right? Everybody needs money, especially if what you're trying to do is get something made for the first time. And so much of the job is going around to these different places, whether it's a studio, whether it's a network, and saying, here's a thing that I have that I think is a really good idea, and this would just be fantastic, and it would look so great on your network, and here's this, and here's this, and here's this, and we just think you would love it, and it's really great. And what you're saying is basically, will you give us the money to make this show, at least in the short term, so we can at least make what they call a pilot? Well, I was thinking about it this past week, and actually last week, and I was thinking, what the hell do I want to go that? Why do I have to do that, you know?
Oh, well, get a load of money bags here.
Wait, just hold on for a second. It ain't money bags. But if I want to do something, like I want to have an animation, if I want to do an animated pilot, if I want to do an animated show as a presentation, if I want to have something and say to a network, here, this is what we have in mind, rather than go to those guys and say, please, sir, would you give me enough money so I can make a pilot and then I can show it to you and then you can decide whether you want it or not, and if you don't want it, no other network gets to look at it and it's already been turned down and this, that, and the other thing. No, I don't want to do that. I'm sick of that. What I'm going to do, what I'm thinking of doing, is we'll just go ahead and produce the damn thing ourselves.
You're talking about paying for it yourself?
Yes, pay. We have a production company. Why not?
Dad, you're kidding me, man. That'd cost $1 million dollars.
No, it wouldn't cost that much, but it is six figures.
Yeah, it's six figures. So? You're telling me I can't, I can, and I'm not doing a Kickstarter either.
Why not, Phil? Everyone's doing it.
I'm sorry, I got nothing against Kickstarters. You guys know what Kickstarters are, right? You're the guys that are the recipients of the Kickstarter pitch. This is somebody who has an idea for a show, and they want to make it, and they don't want to go to the network. All of this stuff that we, you know, that I was just telling you, they do what's called a Kickstarter. They go out and they ask people for money. Fine, great. A lot of good people have done it. A lot of people have made money to do it, and I think it's, if you can do it that way, that's a wonderful thing. I don't want to go near it.
Why? You too good for it? Well, Phil, it makes you look like you're too good for it.
No, I'm not too good for it. I don't want to do it, period. I don't want to have to go through that process. That's all there is to it. I'd rather just go ahead and raise the money on my own, which we basically have, and not have to mess around with that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not putting it down. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like you think it doesn't smell. Yeah, you're not doing it because you don't think it smells.
Because I don't think it smells.
You know what they're talking about.
No, I'm not doing it because I don't think it smells. I'm not doing it because I don't want to do it. I don't want to go through the process of advertising it. I don't want to go through the process of saying, hey, we have a Kickstarter, and it's going to be an animated show, and would you please give us money, and we hit our goal. You go up and down Twitter, and you look at all the Twitter feeds, and all you see half the time are Kickstarter this, Kickstarter that, some guy's raising money for this, that, something else. No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. So instead,
you're going to roll the dice and finance this thing yourself. Well, you've got a bigger pair than me, mister. In fact, you have a pair. I don't. Bud?
Hey!
Since when are you... Get at it. Since when are you applauding when she tells you to?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, so that's what we're going to do. And, you know, it stands three. So, as I said to you, when I promise you something, it may take me a while, but we come through with flying colors. What was the other thing I promised? That we're going to have a listener party in Hawaii. We're going to have a BSP party in Hawaii. I don't know when, but we are. And it will be a party for our Backstage Pass members, and it will be something that will be epic. It will be record-breaking. People will be... They'll be finding bodies for months afterwards. I can guarantee you that. So... Stick around for that, man. But we'll keep you updated on all this stuff. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. You have fallen upon good times, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to a radio show that's about the entertainment of the audience, not lording it over the audience, telling the audience where to get off, how to do it, what to think, how to think, how to vote, how to be, how to feel. This is not a show that's about the doom and the gloom. This is not a show about the rise and the fall. This is a show just about the rise. You know?
Yeah, the rise of what?
Three guesses. Speaking of that, three...
I'm just
speaking of that, Margaret, tomorrow night, or excuse me, Saturday night at the Kangaroo in Fontana, where she'll do the song, My Bull-Legged Gal Sal.